You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 114. After a 2-week break, we're back.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hey, everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the not as religious as we sounded. Right there when I praised Jesus, John Braxton. This week, we're talking about not just the ways that our kinks and desires and even identity may shift and change over time, but that it's normal when it happens. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, or on Instagram at lovingds and the number one, lovingds1. I hate that fucking handle. All links are in the show notes. I haven't gotten to bitch about how I hate our fucking Instagram handle for 2 whole weeks.
It's been nice.
Stop. Yeah, it probably has been nice for everybody. Okay, so yay, we are back. And how excited are we to be back recording an episode? It is 8:30 in the morning.
And I'm in my PJs.
Neither of us has showered yet. I just dropped off the kids.
I'm very scruffy. I haven't even shaved.
I haven't shaved my legs in 2 days. It's awful for me. I mean, I know some people don't shave at all, and that's cool, right? But I like to have smooth legs. Yeah. Just, I do. So, yes, I said to you yesterday, was it yesterday? My days are all confused.
Mm-hmm.
We have to record on Thursday. Can we do it first thing in the morning?
Yes, you said that to me yesterday.
And here we are.
Yeah, and I said, let's do it.
I know, you were very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And I think we've missed this.
Yes.
But you did also ask the question of, do we remember how to do this?
Right.
Well, and we just did our live stream munch last yes. weekend for mm-hmm. our paid community members. And I think we were a little rusty at the first few minutes of that.
Yeah.
And then we sort of just figured it out.
Kind of fell back into the groove.
Yeah. And this, yeah. I think, is sort of the same. Like, I heard myself not say the intro quite perfectly right. I know. He just rolled his eyes at me, y'all. But I went, well, whatever. We're just going with it.
Right.
Yeah. We don't ever edit around here. Well, we edit a little bit.
But a little bit.
We let the flub stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's kind of who we are. Anyway, so now that I've gotten my little bit of rambling started, it's not out of the way and just taking a break now.
Just getting warmed up.
Right. This
God
is,
help us.
Stop, Daddy. Okay, so this is kind of 2 episodes in 1.
Yes.
So we have our topic.
Correct.
Which apparently the universe has been screaming at me to do, because so many different people, whether talking to me directly or just talking out there in the world, and then other things have sort of pointed to it,
mm-hmm.
That I was like, okay, maybe this should be the first one we talk about. Mm-hmm. But we also want to talk about the survey results. Thank you to the, I think it was 100 people who took our survey at the end of last year. Not only do we have results, which we did do a blog post on, and the link is in the show notes.
Right.
We decided on some things, and some things that we've kind of already talked about a little bit on Twitter. I've gotten a couple people pretty excited, so they must be pretty decent ideas. We shall see. Mm. So it's basically a 2 episodes in 1. So if you're like, I do not give 2 shits about the survey, I'm not a member of your community, I am here for the kinky fuckery talk. Once we're done, have a good day. It'll be fine. But if you're either extremely nosy or curious or took the survey or think that, you know, some damn changes need to be made around here, then you should stay through to the end, because we're going to talk about that.
Correct.
And then next week, we should be back to our really normal self. Are you taking off your shirt?
Yes.
Okay. Will the pants follow? I'm good with that. I would totally, like, just watch you do this episode naked.
Maybe.
And then people would go, why isn't there video? Or some people might go, thank God there's no video.
Then we really lose some listeners.
I know. But we might gain some others, so you never know. Okay, so the very first thing I do want to start with, because I don't want it to get lost in all of the information, we did get mail over our break. Now, it lightened up a lot, and part of that is because people have freaking lives, and part of that is because we weren't begging people for mail every week. And,
correct.
Right, but some people did send us mail, and what I love about all of the mail we got, they were all Christmas cards.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. So some were postcards, some were cards, but they were all Christmas cards, and I was immediately happy and also thought, God, I'm a slacker. I never do Christmas cards. So if we were included on your Christmas card list, that is freaking awesome. So one of them is a very cute one. It says Happy Holidays on the front. It's a snow scene. There's reindeer. It was from Cassie Coy. So hello, Cassie, and we love you. She says, I'm going to miss you guys while you're on break, but glad y'all are getting a much needed break. We needed it.
Yes, we did. It was nice.
But we also missed y'all too. So yeah. That was the hard part.
It's good to be back.
So thank you for that. And what I love is Cassie addressed it, Mr. Daddy and Mrs. Baby Girl. Right. And you know, and I do wonder why the postal service person at that local mail
office
looks at me funny. That might be why.
That could be.
Somebody else sent us a card and addressed it, Mr. and Mrs. John Brownstone. I'm here for that. I'm totally here for that. I partnered up my envelope and my card correctly. That was from Rabbit Heart, who wished us a Merry Christmas. Yay. And it's a very cute card with a mouse sleeping.
Snuggled mouse in a bow.
In a bow. And then Mel from Australia sent us a Christmas card, and it's a Tasmanian devil on the front.
Yes.
So that was very, very cool. So thank you all. And
with antlers, no.
With antlers, I know. It's a very festive Tasmanian devil. The only thing I know about Tasmanian devils, and here's where I really show my age, is from cartoons. is from the,
you need
the
to get
Bugs
out
Bunny
more.
Cartoons. Okay, so let's actually get into an actual episode.
Yes.
Because it's like coming home to get to do this. Okay, so this isn't something new for us to talk about. We have talked about it in different ways in almost every episode I think we've probably done. But it all kind of crystallized for me this week in really weird ways.
Okay.
So it came at me from multiple directions.
Do tell.
Of course. Thank you for asking. y'all, we're not that hopped up on sugar or caffeine. I know, no matter what it sounds like, we're just very excited.
I don't know. In dog years, I've only had one coffee.
I'm going to do the show now. We can talk about your coffee addiction later. Anyway. So it started when I wrote the Monday blog posts for this week, because we finally got back into participating in Kink of the Week.
Right.
And the Kink of the Week right now, as of what is the day, January 11th, was when we're recording, is on anal sex.
Yeah.
And I kind of talked about the basics of it and some things that I'd learned, but I mostly talked about how, well, if I'm the one writing it, you know, I'm going to go off on tangents. How it was not really a hard limit of mine. It was something that I was like a little unsure of.
Right.
Then I tried it with two partners, you being the second. And it wasn't awful. It felt good. But that it's actually not on my, oh, we must do list, because the getting prepared for anal sex and what I feel I need to do is way too nerve wracking. Like it just hits my anxiety on so many levels, and I don't enjoy myself because I'm all worried about what might be going on back there. Right. Because it's anal sex and poop happens. Not often, not necessarily in great quantities, but bodies happen and bodies are messy and you're talking about the butt and poop happens. But that makes me very anxious. So in the course of writing it, and I don't know how clear I made it in the blog post, it was sort of a weird thing that I wasn't sure I would do. Then I did it and I enjoy it, but it's definitely not on my list. It's not a hard limit. You know, if somebody said the only way we could ever have penetrative sex again was anal sex, I would go, okay, so you better buy some stock in enemas, because I'm going to buy them all. But I got a thing about my butt being dirty. It's a thing. So I thought a little bit about how, you know, especially since anal sex is either, at least when people talk about it in the open, it's either something you absolutely love or something you absolutely hate. And I was like right there in the middle. I could go either way. And that kind of got me thinking about this topic. And then in the forum, we had somebody who has sort of discovered that they may have, they knew they were submissive, like very strongly submissive, and had sort of figured out, wait a moment, I have some dominant fantasies going on here, and I'm kind of turned on by this. And they were a little bit of, oh my gosh, what does this mean? And am I a switch? I thought I was just submissive. And they're starting to explore their identity.
A different facet of themselves.
Right, exactly. Blech. So I see we've 2 weeks off and you forgot how to talk.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then there's just been a lot of conversation on Twitter, in my email, in messages on FetLife about, I thought this thing about myself and now I've learned this thing. Or, wait, I don't want to do this thing, this kinky thing with this partner, but I do want to do it with that partner. Mm-hmm. What does that all mean? And it just sort of, especially since our last real episode of 2017 was about what will you do different in 2018? Yeah. You know, what will you admit to somebody? What will you explore? What will you, how will you change things up? And I think part of it is certain things are going to shift without us even trying. They're going to surprise us when they shift. We think we're one thing. We think we are, you know, for me, I'm definitely submissive. Hey, wait a moment. I have this dominant energy over here.
I think to a certain aspect, shifts are normal.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's a natural progression. Yes, some of them kind of sneak up on you. Others are more planned.
Well, and not even planned. I think some of it comes down to, I mean, there's not a submissive I've met who's been either in one DS relationship for a long time or had multiples that has never said, oh gosh, I used to think I did not like that. I used to think that was a hard limit. Spanking, bondage, anal sex, mm-hmm. whatever it may be.
Right.
And it's over time they go, oh, wait a moment. No, that's not a hard limit of mine. I'll do that. I like that. Some go, I love that. And it's part of it's the, I think, the natural progression, like you said, of discovering who you are. Because sometimes we think we aren't something or that we don't like something because we don't know about it or we're afraid of it.
Well, put the kink aside. In any relationship, people change, take on different interests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the natural way of things. You know, people grow. So, unfortunately, in some relationships, people grow apart. Some people grow closer together. You know, so it kind of stands to reason, even on the kink side, things change. I possibly a cause of that is, you know, you see something and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, no, that's absolutely not for me. But then you realize that there could be different spectrums.
Yes,
Everything is on a spectrum. So, you know, you're like, oh, I don't have to be that extreme.
Right, I don't have to be the porn version of what I just saw.
Right.
I can do my own lighter version and it still counts.
Yeah.
Right, and that's in everything. And, you know, you said something that has been on my mind lately, and I'm sure it probably needs to be left for a larger, more philosophical discussion. But I've kind of come to the belief that in most cases, I don't think we change in the sense that one day you were this person and then the very next day you were somebody completely, positively different. I think with time and with effort and with the right relationships, romantic, sexual, or other, it's not about it's not always love relationships, it's all the different relationships we have with people. I don't think we necessarily change, like become somebody completely different. I think we become more of who we actually are.
Yes. And I've said this before, the core of who you are, your core person does not change.
No, I think what you do is you realize things that you either didn't know about yourself, part of that from education, part of that from life experience, part of that from just trusting people or not trusting people. I mean, the things that happen where you go, okay, oh, I cannot trust that person. That is knowledge. Yeah. I will do things differently. And I think part of it is opening yourself up to new experiences. In kink, you are automatically opening yourself up to new experiences.
Sure.
I cannot imagine I know that I have talked to some people who are like, oh, my family was very open about kink. I understood it as a kid. The vast majority of us did not have that experience. Vast majority of us were very closeted or very worried about what it was we liked or very concerned that there was something wrong with us because we liked this thing. Or we just didn't touch that, you know, we had that thought in our head or that desire and we just didn't even touch it. We went,
Even myself, I grew up in a family that, you know, no, you did not discuss sex.
Oh gosh, yes, that was absolutely my experience. We do not talk about that.
No, I mean, that is a topic that is totally taboo, you know.
Right, so if you're not talking about even the most, you know, basic vanilla sex,
right,
then you're certainly not talking about kinky things and the extremes of what we, you know, the socially normal, even that's
right.
Normal is an awful word, but the socially normal types of sex. So it stands to reason that the thing you thought you knew about yourself on the first day that you went, I am a kinky person, here's how I believe I identify, could very well be something completely different a year, 5 years, 10 years down the road. You know, because every time you allow yourself to have a new or different experience, you're learning something new about yourself.
Sure.
You know,
you're expanding who you are.
Exactly. I don't think you're changing. I think you're growing, and I think you're expanding. Right. And I think that it doesn't mean, like, some people, they go, well, I'm definitely dominant. What do you mean I have these submissive desires, right? Or, I'm definitely submissive. What do you mean I have these dominant desires? They question whether they were, quote, really, big old air quotes, submissive or dominant before, because now they've found these other sides that they like. And that's, I think, the thing I want to say is, you are still whatever you liked before, assuming you still like it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have this other layer you didn't necessarily know about. And it's not even that, in the case of the person who is submissive and found these dominant sort of desires, you may still be submissive with these other partners over here and only dominant with a partner or certain types of partners or different partners on the other side.
Yeah.
And you may find that one person or all people bring out both sides in you. Like, it's this really cool sort of snowflakey thing, because there's no one way to do it. There's no one way anybody will experience whatever their desires are. Even if they look at another person and go, oh yeah, you're a switch too. Cool, I'm a switch. Well, you will both experience your switchiness
in different ways.
Completely different ways.
Right.
And so I think that's one, the scary thing for a lot of people of, wait, there's no rule book. There's no model to follow.
Throw away the rule book.
I have to just go out there and do it and figure it out on my own.
If you have a rule book, throw it away.
Right. And I think that can make some people very nervous. I am that way. If there's no method to follow and I'm just out there on my own and I got to figure this shit out, I get very nervous. Some people get very excited by that. Like, yeah, break all the rules, do what I want to do.
Well, it's like any aspect of this lifestyle. You write your own rule book.
And it will shift and change over time.
Absolutely.
And it will be different with different partners.
Yeah.
And I think some people find that hard to believe because maybe they're in a long-term committed relationship and they've never changed partners. Mm-hmm. And they're not interested in having an open relationship or a poly relationship. So they're going to be with this one partner and they identify in one way with one partner. That doesn't mean you can't still shift and grow and try new things. I mean, even in those relationships, think about it. The things you thought you didn't like in the very beginning, and then 3-4 years later, you're like, oh, let's give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still expand our horizons even if we think, if we want to be, or we think we are locked in one identity.
Right.
You know, that's a little bit of the downside of labels and identities and titles that we have for ourselves, whether in kink or any other aspect of life, is that some of us will get boxed into that and think this is what that label or identity means.
Mm-hmm.
And anything outside of that means that I am either not this thing that I thought I was, or that I can't do these other things too.
Color outside the lines.
And color with different crayons. Yeah. Pick a different color.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, it's kind of a, sometimes when I think about it too hard, about how everything can twist and shift and change, and how it's completely unique for my shifts and twists and changes will be unique to me and different from the way you do it, it's kind of a mind-bending, trippy thing. Like, my mind, it's too big of a concept for my mind to really, like, let all the way in. Like, I feel like my head will explode and my brain will just leak out of my ears if I try to grasp the whole thing. It's a little bit of, like, thinking of the universe in some, you know, concrete way. But I think that the fact that we can acknowledge that you will discover different desires, you may discover them with the same partner, you may discover them with a different partner, who knows? You might not discover them with a partner at all. I mean, God knows. The way I discovered that, I'm like, oh yeah, BDSM, totally my jam. I was kind of single. I mean, I was dating a couple of guys, but I wasn't in a relationship. And I'm watching Tumblr porn. I'm scrolling through Tumblr porn and I'm reading Literotica and I'm reading some extreme shit that I would never allow anybody on this fucking planet to do to me. Even all these years later, ain't nobody coming at me with a garden hose enema. And yet,
darn.
I know. And yet it was like, some of it was my whole body responded.
Yeah.
It was great for masturbating later, by the way. It was really good for masturbating later. And that was also a thing that I had to sort of personally had to figure out for myself. That
but see, that I think what you made an excellent point right there. You know, you said your whole body responded. That's a very visceral.
Yes, it's usually a pretty good sign of whether you really like something or really hate something. Right. Yeah. But, you know, that was the thing. That was also the thing I had to discover for myself, was that I could read a thing or hear a thing or watch a thing mm-hmm. and be turned on by it and yet not actually want to experience it. You know, like in the realm of fantasy,
right.
reading some of those really filthy, filthy, kinky things was hot. But if I stepped outside of that moment mm-hmm. and I said, okay, somebody, you know, your kinky fairy godmother offers you this opportunity to enact this scene you just read, do you do it? Oh, hell no. Hell no. I'm not going out in the yard with the fence and the garden hose. I wish I could remember that story. It was like a 3 or 4 parter. I read all of it. I could not stop. Like I broke out into a sweat. My whole body was flushed. I definitely wanked after that. I probably needed some orgasms after that. And part of it was because it was shocking. And part of it was because mm-hmm. I had never, that was like at that moment, the filthiest thing I'd ever read.
Mm.
It felt taboo. And what's funny is, as I think some of us, especially if we've been working on our kinky stuff and our kinky side for long enough, might look back at those early days and go, oh my gosh, I thought that was taboo. Please, you should look at my porn collection now,
yeah,
you know?
Right? Yeah.
And so that's the other sort of shift and change of our perceptions change mm-hmm. of what is really bad or really off limits or, oh, I could never do that. You know, I've personally found myself in situations, and I've talked to many people who thought in their early, early days of kinkiness, oh, I could never, you know, have what, one cock down my throat, one in an orifice, or I could never have, you know, a threesome with nothing but women. You know, I could, whatever it is you thought you could never do. And then mm-hmm. one day they discover themselves in the middle of it and they go, holy shit, I've come a long way, yeah. you know? But I also think that you continue to have these moments of, oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. And I really think there comes a point for most of us.
Never say never.
We stop saying that. We yeah. might acknowledge, no, we won't do that. Mm-hmm. But I think we get to a point where we go, oh, I can't say I'd never do that because I said I'd never do that other thing. And mm-hmm. here I am, you know?
Yeah.
So that's another sort of level of growth and expansion. Mm-hmm. Once you realize that there might be some things you truly will never do. But that you stop telling yourself, oh, I can't imagine. Oh, that will probably never happen. You never really yeah. know. Well,
for me, one of those things was humiliation play.
Oh, God, yes. Sorry, okay. I just got a little turned off there. Sorry.
Well, let's face it. You know, humiliating somebody, degrading somebody is a very... horrible thing in the wrong context.
Absolutely. Under normal circumstances.
In a non-consensual.
Right. Outside of your kinky concept. Realm, it's very, yeah.
So it's something very hard to wrap your head around. You know, I for one don't like to be humiliated under any circumstances, consensually or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was always, you know, do unto others.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
Course.
You know, so it's not something I would do to people, you know.
And then you met me.
And then came you.
But you know what's funny? Under normal circumstances, the most mortifying thing, I am easily humiliated in a way that is very painful and bad for my mm-hmm. anxiety. And I feel shame very easily. And outside of a kinky consensual thing, it is something that will devastate me if it happens. Mm-hmm. I actively work to not let anything do that to me or make me yeah. feel that way. And so imagine my surprise when I found out it was a turn on, as long as it's under controlled setting, right. consensual, and within certain limits.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. That's the other point I want to make sure that we make. This happens to me all the time, so I have no doubt it happens to other people. So everything's a spectrum, right?
Correct.
We talk about humiliation play, and I'm like, ooh, okay. And some people out there who are really like, that's a major, major fetish of theirs,
mm-hmm.
they're imagining probably like really intense scenes straight out of porn, and there's like, you know, the licking of a toilet seat or the this or that, or the, just the, some of the things that can be part of a humiliation fetish. And we are actually very much on what I would consider the light end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
Right. Because certain things, no, I'm not doing. It's just not happening. Because mm-hmm. I got other limits that don't have anything to do with humiliation, that have mostly to do with filth and dirt. if I got a thing about poop, there's certain things that's not happening. Okay. So, what happens to me, this is how I know it happens to other people, because I'm not that much of a snowflake, is that I will think to myself when I see like hardcore humiliation porn or whatever, right? It doesn't actually, it kind of turns me on, but it doesn't turn me on quite as much. And I will wonder to myself, well, should I really tell people that I have a humiliation kink? Should I really tell people that? Because I don't like that stuff. I like this very specific stuff within parameters that fit me and that don't harm me mentally or physically.
Right?
And that's the thing I think a lot of us do. When we like a thing, but we don't like it as hardcore as somebody else likes a thing. Yeah, it still counts, y'all. It still counts. Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing is that you've identified that you like, you can reject every other part of it and like just one little teeny tiny element of it, and it still counts.
Sure.
And you can question your own identity as much as you want to, as much as you need to grow and expand and develop, you know, new parts of yourself. But you should not use it as a way to go, oh, well, I can't claim that label or that title or that identity for myself because I don't like the full spectrum of that particular kink or fetish, you know? And what I have loved that you and I have managed to do with the fact that you could not imagine performing, you know, humiliating somebody, and that I actually have serious problems with it outside of kink, is that we absolutely have our ways of exploring that together.
Yes.
And it's delightful.
Absolutely.
But you know what's funny? You know what's funny? Like, okay, so we combine kinks all the time.
Yeah.
So you really love role play. Oh, we know how I feel about role play. Listen to like any past episode. I really don't like role play. And you really like dirty talk. And I like to listen to dirty talk. I'm for shit at giving it. Just my brain doesn't work that way. And so you combine that with my need for humiliation and call me all kinds of awful names, which is so freaking hot. And then we combine our love of impact, my need for pain and humiliation. And because you smack me in the face, like hardcore, like you don't punch me. That wouldn't be okay. No. I'm not good with that. But you smack me across the face when we're fucking and it's all dirty and hot. And oh my God, it's so good. And yet, I, like every other kinky thing anybody does, I can't even let myself get completely lost in it. We have to be thinking about safety.
Right.
We were fucking the other day. There will be a blog post on my personal site about that soon. Oh, it was so good. And he's like, fucking me. And every once in a while, he'll reach out and smack me across the face. And it was different than normal. Normally, I get a lot of preparation so I can relax my jaw and I know it's coming. And it's more impact, less humiliation. This was smack, smack, smack. Oh, God, it was so hot. But because
I was in a very primal mood.
I know, it was awesome. But because we had the shifting of our bodies as we had actual sex, your hand slipped because there wasn't a slow progression like it normally is.
Yeah.
And I actually had to go watch my ears because he was hitting my ears too. And I'm like, oh, we do not need a busted eardrum here.
No.
And yet, for all that I had to be aware enough to be able to tell you, woo, watch out, because he didn't realize what he was doing. I could feel it. I also was allowed to feel the impact, the pain, and the, oh my God, my face keeps getting hit. Oh my God. You know, there's, for me, specifically in humiliation play, which I promise you, 5 years ago, I could never have imagined I would have allowed. I really do. Part of my anxiety comes from certain types of shame experiences, and I have to be very careful. It's still, every single time I'm like, oh my God, that's my face. And then I'm also like, oh my God, that's so fucking hot. Oh my God. So that's just one teeny tiny little example from us. I mean, that's just one thing, and how it can be a part of expanding your horizons and figuring out your identity and thinking in terms of, oh, I can't like that. We say, over the holidays, I watched a lot of Good Morning America and the Today Show because we were at my mom's house and that's what she watches. I don't ever watch that stuff. So right at the new year, they had some lady on who had either written a book or an article. I don't know. And she said that the one resolution we should all make is to remove the word should from our vocabulary.
Mm.
And it's not bad advice. My therapist has been telling me that for over a year. I spend a lot of my time going, well, I should do this and I should do that. And he says, you are shoulding all over yourself. And we all do that in all facets of life. But in kink, we do that. Some of us do that a lot. We go, well, I shouldn't like this or I should be this way because I've identified in a certain mm-hmm. way or I know how I feel about a thing. So I should or I shouldn't. And we should all over ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm trying. Maybe that's the title of this freaking episode. I don't know. Is that there is no should.
Right.
There are shoulds. There are you should get consent and you should play safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say change that to should and say you will.
Yeah.
You have to. You are required to. But the other shoulds of I shouldn't like this because this is too kinky, or I shouldn't like this because I used to think it was a hard limit, or I should like this because don't all submissives like to be spanked? Well, no.
No.
No. There's no should.
No.
There's no should.
You can be submissive and not be a masochist.
Exactly. You can be dominant and not want to hit your partner. I mean,
being a dominant is different from being a sadist.
Exactly. And what a sadist means is different for everybody. So,
right.
So you can identify as a sadist and not look anything like any other sadist mm-hmm. you know.
But, you know, it's just like trying different aspects of kink. It's like, you know, you're not into wax play, but and you want to try wax play. You know, try it once, try it twice, maybe three times. If you really don't like it, you don't have to do it again. It's the same thing with being a submissive and realizing you may have some dominant energy. You know, nothing wrong with exploring it.
Right, and there's also nothing wrong with fantasizing it and then not
and
exploring
it. Right, exactly.
It goes both ways.
It goes, yeah.
Did I derail you?
Yes.
I did that thing that really annoys somebody who keeps listening because they keep talking about it. I interrupted you.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Let's carry on.
Well, and I think you and I are both, I think, as usual, we actually believe the same thing. We just come out, we have different approaches.
True.
Right. So you see it in one side and I see it in another side and it sounds like we might be saying something different. We're really
we're
saying
really
the exact
not.
Same
yeah.
thing. Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think the overarching point is there's no need to beat this dead horse. I think mm-hmm. most of us know it. I'm not trying to impart knowledge that somebody doesn't really know. I think we all know this. We just need the reminder that you can be a submissive and always be a submissive and never want any other part of kink, and that's mm-hmm. legitimate. You can think that you have one identity or that you identify with one label, and then as time goes on and as you discover more about yourself and as you are exposed to different ways of doing this kinky thing, right,
mm-hmm.
that you can decide for yourself and discover for yourself that a thing you thought you didn't like or that totally wasn't you really is you, maybe just under a different name, maybe just under different circumstances. I cannot tell you the amount of people who have messaged and gone, you know, I thought that whole daddy baby girl or daddy little thing, or and really let's ungender it, that caregiver little thing that was totally not for me. I didn't like those names. I didn't like that. Oh, and then I listened to you be a baby girl and I went, oh, wait, I could totally do that. That's my jam. We just call it something different.
Right.
Y'all, that is exactly it. You might not like that I call John Brownstone daddy. That might just really squick you out. That's cool. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be your thing. It's my thing. You might also, though, go, wow, I'm kind of playful like that, and I giggle a lot like that, and I'm really impatient. Like, God, I'm just like her. But I don't like the term. I know. I'm so sorry for your partner. but I don't like the term baby girl, right? Or I don't identify, mm-hmm. you know, in any other way as a little or whatever. That's okay, too. That's part of your exploration. It's why getting out into the community, having multiple kinky resources, having kinky friends, all the different things you can do online and in person to expose yourself to different ways of doing kink.
Right.
It actually is part of your growth as well, because at some point, completely without you even realizing it, you're going to see somebody or meet somebody or witness something happen, and it's going to, something in your brain's going to click on and you're going to go, oh, wait, oh, I like that. I didn't think I liked that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Or you're going to see something in a new way. The first time I understood that, I think I knew it, but I never witnessed it. But the first time I really understood that you can identify as, in this case, it was a dominant person who still had very baby girl tendencies. She could get giggly in a heartbeat. She could, I mean, it's amazing she wasn't just throwing glitter everywhere, right? Yeah. Was at in our local community. And I went, oh, she's, nothing about her is submissive. When she identifies as submissive, it depends on the partner. But in that moment, she was very much the dominant she always is, but she was clearly also a baby girl. And I went, oh. And that was when I decided that I would start identifying as a submissive baby girl, two different aspects of the same personality. Mm-hmm. Well, that was part of when I decided it. It's just like when and having that discovery and making that distinction and understanding that concept is how I can say, oh, yes, I'm most definitely submissive to John Brownstone. And yes, I'm a dominant badass in business. Do not fuck with me. I'm also a little bit of a sadist, but not really, only in my head. Yeah. I'm a verbal sadist. Like, I will tease verbally that mm-hmm. I would never carry through. I would never, 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 ever do in real life. And those are different teeny tiny little aspects of my personality. And instead mm-hmm. of rejecting them because they don't conform with the identity I've given myself, mm-hmm. I incorporate them into my existing identity. Does that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's fully the point. Keep exploring. Keep trying new things. Keep your mm-hmm. eyes open. You know, go listen to other podcasts. Go read other blogs. Go watch other videos. Go out into your local community if that's an option. And witness all the different ways there are to do this thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be amazed at how your horizons expand.
Yeah. Opens whole new doors.
Exactly. And then try really hard as this can be for some people, not to slam those doors shut when they don't conform with who you think you are.
Yeah.
That would be the other part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure people have opinions about this particular.
I'm sure.
And I don't, because it's both a complex topic and a very simple one,
mm-hmm.
which the simplicity is keep your eyes open, keep your options open.
Right.
Don't be too concrete in your thinking. It's about that simple to me, because it's not just kink. It's not just DS. It's everything.
There are always going to be certain aspects that are set in stone.
Absolutely. Some things won't change.
Right. But around that stone, there is fluid.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think that when you allow yourself to embrace that fact, mm-hmm. you will be amazed at the things you can experience.
Yeah.
Sexually, kinky, in life,
just in life, in general.
Just because there's something, there's a thing, kinky or otherwise, mm-hmm. that you've always done this way, doesn't mean it's how you have to always do it.
But see, you know, as things change, that all comes down to the aspect of DS life of pushing those boundaries.
Yes. Okay. And some of us can push our own boundaries, and some of us need to have our boundaries pushed. I am a need to have my boundaries pushed person.
And you know, the thing is, when we talk about pushing boundaries, it's always, you know, 99.9% of the time, it's in geared towards pushing a submissive's boundaries.
Right, and usually a kinky thing you like to do.
Right, but in reality, it pushes both boundaries.
And on a lot of different levels. It's not just, oh, can you take a harder spanking? Or, oh, can I tie you up in this new position and you'll, you know, it's not just that. It's, are you willing to try a new thing?
Mm-hmm.
You had this small kernel of desire. Are you willing to go explore it? Go down that rabbit hole, see where it takes you. And that is absolutely regardless of whatever side of a slash you identify on. That's a human thing that you can experience. If you're afraid to experience it in your vanilla life, God, start in your kinky life, and then the vanilla gets a lot less scary.
Yeah.
I just tell you.
This is true.
So, I feel like I'm going into rambles.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
No.
So what my whole point is, though, I think we can easily dredge up some thoughts for people, whether they've experienced it for themselves or they have experienced something that they that sounds great on paper. It's all utopia. And they went, no, that didn't fucking work. Whatever. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can always talk to us on Twitter at @LovingBDSM. You can find us on FetLife. I don't spend a lot of time on FetLife. I mostly use it to do messages. So. If you want to talk to me on FetLife, send me a message. We do have the Loving BDSM FetLife as well, or our personal FetLives.
Right.
Email is good. Wherever you can, the show notes page of this episode has a comment section, so you can comment there if you want. It doesn't. However you want to communicate with us, if you have thoughts about this, especially if you've experienced it for yourself. And I think many of us sort of have this, oh, that won't be me. I am who I am. This is kind of set in stone. And then you have that sort of aha moment. Would love to hear your stories. Would love to hear your thoughts. Would love to hear a different take on it. I mean, we're just one side of a conversation about it. And some people will see it differently. And that's cool, too. I can always handle...
It's always good to find out different perspectives.
Absolutely. And I like hearing different perspectives as long as it stays respectful.
Yeah.
Right? The moment it comes off kind of like asshole-ish, I just delete. Like, I don't even respond. I'm like, delete. Mm-hmm. They're not here for a conversation. They're here for something else. Delete. So, I want to have conversations. So, let's have conversations. And if you're a member, free or paid, of the Loving BDSM community, we'll have this posted so you can talk to us about it on the podcast forum.
Yes.
So, there's that too.
Right.
Okay. So we have the other half of the show,
correct,
which I'm treating like a bonus section.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of navel gazing. It's a lot of, oh, this is all about us. But so we're not going to have a other bonus section.
We're not going to have a formal
bonus section. Right. So we'll do our Keep It Kinky at the very end, and it really will be the end. So
okay,
this is the second part of one episode.
Okay.
The second section? I don't know how to... My words are failing me. I haven't had enough coffee. Early for us. I don't know what time anybody's listening to this, but it is early for us.
It is.
So, it's all about the survey. So, yes. If you do not give two shits about the community or the website, or you're just like, I'm here for the fucking information, whatever you do, just keep doing your thing, then you're cool. Have a good day. Yeah. We love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being here. We're all happy to have you. And...
Right. If you are one of our... amazing people who just likes to hear us talk, and I worry for you, but I also love you, so there's that. Or you're like, I took the survey, and are they going to take any of my suggestions seriously? Well, let's talk about it. You ready to talk about it, Daddy?
Yes.
Okay, so we did have about 100 people respond, which in terms of surveys in general is actually not awful. It was about 25% of our total membership on Loving BDSM.
Ah.
Not everybody who took the survey was a member, though.
Okay.
So that's cool. And y'all did it with no incentive other than just because I begged you nicely on Twitter and in episodes. So that's pretty cool. If we make this an annual thing, we will probably add incentives to it to get more people to respond. We may turn it into a member-only survey at some point. Mm-hmm. We shall see. But it really was helpful.
It was.
And some of the things you asked for, we had been thinking about.
Correct.
And some of the things we've been thinking about, you were like, I don't really need that. Which is sort of helpful, because just because you have an idea doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Right.
I've had to learn that I don't have to actually jump on every idea I have.
That is true.
And I've mostly learned that because John Brownstone is my daddy and makes me.
She has lots of ideas, and I'm not going to deny it. A very good percentage of them are very wonderful ideas.
But... there's only 24 hours in a day.
So many days in a week. And sometimes you just got to say, whoa, back it down, baby girl.
So we, yeah. And I nearly gave myself like a mental breakdown over the holidays. So I got a little bit of perspective once we stopped.
Yeah,
that was bad.
Considering we're on a break.
I know. I never really took a break. It was bad. It's helping me realize that I really can say no to some stuff, and I really don't have to follow every single idea that comes to my brain. And so 2018 will be more interesting, I think. So we did post, like I said earlier, we did post some preliminary results, not every single result from the survey, in a blog post. We did link to them if anybody's really that interested. But the things we made change, no, we did not make changes. I haven't made any changes yet. We made a list of things that we would like to do in 2018, much of it based on the feedback we got in the survey.
Yes.
Because some of the feedback was confirmation that we're on the right track.
On the right path, yes.
Some of it was in response to specific things that were requested. Mm-hmm. So what we learned is that most of what we're doing, most people appreciate. I think it's why you're here. Right. If we were like really doing this wrong, our listeners wouldn't be growing. Our website traffic wouldn't be growing. Nothing would be growing. We would either be shrinking or staying stagnant, and that's not happening.
Right.
So that was good confirmation to know, okay, even on our moments where we're like, oh God, should we really be doing this? We'll keep being who we are and doing what we do. That doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement, and that doesn't mean that there's not ways to grow and do it better.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, what we wanted to know in the survey was, who are we talking to? Are we talking only to new Kingsters? Are we, you know, we're talking to a wide range? Are we hitting topics that you want to hear? And are we giving you enough content? So by and large, everybody's like, we got enough content. We're cool. If you want to do more, that's great, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Most people, when we ask the question, would you like a second podcast episode in the week? The people who commented, and not everybody commented, and it was something you could do if you want. It was optional. That's the word I want.
Yeah.
But of the people who commented, most people said, I would love another episode, but I do not want you to kill yourself. And I thought, we have the best listeners ever. They're so worried about us. So that was good information to have. We talked about the topics that you want to hear. And that doesn't mean that we will not talk about the things people didn't, you know, select. It just means that, okay, are we focusing on the right things? And I was surprised in that list because the people I talk to most of the time are in long distance relationships, or there's something that keeps them from having the full DS relationship they're craving. And when we threw that out there as a potential topic, that actually got a lot less attention than the topic that I think we talk about in some way in every episode, even if we don't mean to, which was, what was that top one up there? You have the, okay. He's got his notes. He took notes. Keeping DS alive in relationships. 60% of people were like, could you please talk about that? or keep talking about that.
Oh God. Now,
see, now you don't have words.
Yeah, you're
Man,
right.
Man, we should have had more coffee.
Right. But no, that's a very,
common
topic. Yes. Thank you. It's something that people faces every day in their day-to-day lives.
Right. And the way I look at it is we can, and I'm sure we will do specific topics on that subject. But if you want to know how, just kind of listen to everything, because our entire life is about how do we keep this thing going?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's with humor, and sometimes it's with discipline, and sometimes it's always with intention. And we found out over probably the entire month of December that when we stop being intentional, then things start falling apart.
Yeah.
Right. So there were a lot of comments that came with the topics because people had thoughts.
Right.
And what I loved reading the different, so if you go to the blog post we wrote and you click on the link to the full survey results, you will not be able to see the comments. The reason being, I didn't want anybody to feel like, even in a little way, that their anonymity was at risk because somebody could read exactly what they wrote. Like, some people will say, oh gosh, somebody would know that that's me. I don't think that they would, but I never want anybody to have that feeling. So you can't read the comments, but you can see the numbers, the raw numbers. In the comments, especially on the topics, people had their thing that's like, this is the thing I'm most thinking about when I'm thinking about DS or BDSM. And some of those topics they were all good topics. They were all great topics. Somebody talked about coming in, dealing with aging in kink.
Right.
I did have to laugh, chuckle a little bit, not at the person, but just at how things work. Somebody was was very concerned that all of the kinky information is geared towards people in their like 20s and the young people. John Brownstone is 56.
Yeah.
If that helps anybody. John Brownstone is 56.
I'm no spring chicken.
Right. I'm only 38. In comparison, I'm relatively young, but I am like getting close to 40. But John Brownstone is 56, has a bad back. We have dealt with death. We have dealt with illness. Like we have dealt with some of those things. So it made us chuckle because it's like, well, I wouldn't think to talk about it as its own topic because we all, you know, we are those people on certain levels. But it was still good to have it brought up. Somebody else brought up talking about BDSM and DS from a aspect of being queer. And non-binary and gender fluid. And the topics people raised in the comments of that particular question in the survey were great. They were like, I went, yeah, people do need to talk about that more. And I have no doubt that there's somebody out there talking about it. It's just, we're not talking about it. And I'm not going to talk about being queer and being kinky because I am not queer. And I'm not the voice that needs to talk about that.
No,
that would be wrong on so many levels for me to talk to other people who are queer about being queer. That's not going to happen. Just like I, as at 38, cannot talk to a 60-year-old person about discovering their kinky self as an older person and some of the biases they might face. That was something else that somebody brought up.
True.
That does not mean those topics should not be talked about. What that means is that people better qualified than us should be talking about them.
Correct.
And what we have decided in 2018 is that we want to be a platform for that. We want to create spaces for those voices.
Right.
Now, we have to start very small.
Yeah.
Very, very, very small. And it will, for people who desperately want this and aren't finding it in other places, you will think it's not enough. And I recognize that. But we are two people, husband and wife, manning this ship here. So we're going to do a few things. One, we are going to open up a writing contributorship program where basically if you are a writer, you will be able to pitch an idea to us. I don't want the full article. I want a pitched idea so we can massage it before you put in all the work for a teeny tiny little bit of money. I swear to you, it will be a pittance because we don't have the money quite yet. We will pay people for their work. Now, because we don't have a lot of money right now, we're estimating it's going to be one a month for the amount that we feel like we can comfortably pay, which is not industry standard rates, y'all. Please do not come yelling at me when you see this later, because we are still growing, and as we grow, pay will go up. Ultimately, I don't know if it'll take a year, if it'll take 5 years. What I would love to have is to be able to pay for either monthly or weekly contributors to talk about these different topics, to have people who talk about being non-binary or queer or transgender and DS and BDSM. I would love, somebody else mentioned femdom. Y'all, this will not be the place. I will never talk to you about being femdom. I am not femdom.
Right.
But that doesn't mean people who identify as femdom should not share their stories.
I mean, yes, there, you know, a lot of things that you talk about in DS, can be carried over,
right?
Okay, into one, but there are very specific differences,
right? And we are white, we are cis, we're not really hetero, but we're figuring ourselves out. We are not the ones who should be talking about those things. I can't tell you about a person of color's experience in kink.
Right.
I'm not. I mean, we talk
about things, you know, based on our own experiences, how we live a DS life.
Right.
How we experience the S&M spectrum of it. But, you know,
And I think a lot of what we talk about, I'd like to think this, and this may be my privilege and my bias talking, I don't know. I would like to think that a lot of what we experience is universal across a human level. Like, there's a lot more that connects us than separates us.
Yes.
But the ways we identify and the experiences we have based on our identities affects our life and impacts our life. And so some of those things are tricky. And it could be that somebody else feels like they're having a bad experience or a good experience because of their identity. And it is possible that they may discover that, oh, wait, I identify with this other person's story. So maybe it's not because of my identity that I'm having this. Maybe it's something else, right? Yeah. So that's another good reason to share all the different types of stories. But you're not going to hear me talk about the queer experience, okay? Not queer. You're not going to hear me ever talk about a person of color's experience. Can't do it. Not going to do it. No. Not my place. But that doesn't mean that those voices shouldn't be heard and that we would not like to be a place for that.
Right.
We have to start really, really, really small. I want to keep everybody's expectations really fucking low here, okay? One a month is what we're talking about.
Right.
For minimal pay. And not just people of color, not just somebody who identifies on the LGBTQ spectrum, people who are older, people who have gone through abuse. That was another topic that there was interest on.
Yeah.
Mental health issues. So
unfortunately, that's a big thing in kink because, you know, there are a lot of predators.
Right.
Unfortunately, especially for newer submissives, it's easy to mistake abusive and controlling,
right? For this
behavior
is how
for
quote real
what yeah
doms do, yeah,
exactly.
So we're gonna. I'm still working on it. I thought I'd have it done before this episode goes live. That will not be happening. So hopefully by the time episode 115 goes live, we are gonna create a page on the site that'll be accessible to anybody about how you can contribute. What types of topics we know we're looking for, but that does not mean that you'd have to stick with that list. If you've got a good one,
you
just
stick it to
us. If you
have an idea, you know, absolutely, you know, pitch it.
Exactly. And again, to all my writer friends, because I know every site does this differently, I like to work the way I work as a freelance writer. I'm not asking for full articles. I want a pitched idea because I don't want you to put in all the work and then me reject it. Like that's yeah. Oh, God, don't do that. Plus, some of you want to be professional writers, and here's your practice of pitching, because I'm probably the friendliest person you're ever going to pitch to, or one of them. I know a few others. So that is coming. We're going to start opening that up.
I
do not know when the first one will be. I do not know, once we put that page live on the site, how much energy there's going to be for it, how much excitement there's going to be for it. The other thing we talked about, and it goes in hand with hitting other topics that people want to hear about that we haven't been touching on.
Right.
Creating more podcasts that some people, so in the response, about a third said, yes, definitely. Another section said, maybe. And some people said, yes, but only like, some people said, yes, more of the same. Some people said, yes, but as long as it's different. Some people said, maybe. And very few people said no. I thought, oh gosh, we talk so damn much. Most people are going to go, hell no, please stop. You're in my podcast feed enough. And that did not happen. So we talked about another way to generate more conversations.
Right.
Hit more topics that people want us to talk about, that they're looking for, and you either want our perspective on them, or we are your main resource and you're not finding what you want here. Wherever you fall within that, this is what we may be trying to address. We've been talking about probably since October last year, we've floated the idea, what if we did a second podcast? What if we did a second episode each week? We do not have the time or the bandwidth to do another hour and a half episode every week.
No.
So for everybody who's going, oh my God, I can barely keep up now. It's fine.
It's okay.
We can't do that either.
Take a deep breath.
What we would like to do is do shorter 10 to 15 minute episodes, potentially another one a week.
Yeah.
It as not a companion to what you'd hear on a Friday or when the episode drops on Friday, but as extra content.
Correct.
So some of what we suggested and people asked for, one of the things people asked for was they want more information on kinks and fetishes.
Right.
And if you've noticed in our longer episodes, it's conversations about what we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, this is what I do, what I like. And we use it mainly as an example, so that you can then fill in the blank with whatever the thing is that you like. So these would not be that. If we talk about kinks and fetishes as its own second little episode, and we're talking about doing a series where it's text, video, and audio, and it all kind of goes together, so you can get the information in whatever way you like to process information. Very sort of, here's what it is, here's some ways to try it, here's what you need to know about it. but in our weird, wild personality way. Right. Take that as you will take that.
Yeah.
We want to actually create a section on the website that is just about kinks and fetishes. So mm-hmm. not like a glossary with a little short description, but something like that. We'll see. The other thing we talked about doing, we get the question a lot, not a lot, but it feels like a lot. We get the request for interviews. Now, here's the thing. There's some really great podcasts out there that are already doing interviews with really interesting people. We don't want to be those shows. Just like I don't think they want to be our show, we don't want to be those shows.
Yeah.
We don't want to become an interview show. We enjoy... Somebody gave me the analogy and I have latched onto it. They said, listening to you guys on the podcast is like sitting at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee and everybody's just chatting. And I loved that.
Yes.
And I love... If anybody else identifies with that sort of visual... Yes, that if that's mm-hmm. what we do for you, then mission accomplished.
Exactly.
The moment they said it, I went, "That yes, that's my mission. Yeah, that's exactly what I want."
Yeah.
So I don't want us to lose that. I think that's what people tend to show up for. I don't know what else y'all show up for, but I think that's part of it. And so we want to keep that. But he just toasted you guys with his cup of coffee. That this is audio. Remember, Daddy,
yeah,
this is audio.
I know, they can't see you.
But that doesn't mean we don't want to have more conversations.
Right.
So we have talked about, again, we do not know when it will start, one time a month airing as a bonus episode. We are calling them interviews, but really I don't look at it as an interview. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a conversation with a kinkster we know, we like, we're interested in. They have a perspective that we certainly don't have. They're somebody we trust. That's another big thing. I'm not interested in talking to random people that I don't really know. My philosophy, I think you would agree with me on this. Our philosophy is to give you information that we can stand behind, that we can say,
right.
Oh yeah, that we'll put our name on that.
I mean, just like we do in our personal life. You know, for us, it's as much about the connection.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, we just don't gravitate towards anybody.
Right. Because what we want is this to be a conversation where whether they are physically with us when we record or we're doing it all online, mm-hmm. you feel like you're sitting there at the table with all of us. And we're talking about a topic, and the conversation may have a very specific point, and it may, y'all know us, get a little
float
rambling.
Off and do a tangent,
right? But that ultimately you get another picture of either DS or just
right.
kink or BDSM in a new way from a new voice and a new perspective that has something to say.
Yeah.
And for us, it is about the energy between us and other people, and it is about, is this somebody that we're like, oh yeah, we respect them on some level, and we want you to know who they are too.
Right.
Right. So that will hopefully begin happening soon. For everybody who their ears perked up and they thought, there's my chance to be on a podcast. We at first are going to reach out to people that we know we want to talk to. So you can send your email.
Right.
But that doesn't mean anything. We have kind of a short list of people, and a couple people I've already talked to. Amy from Coffee and Kink.
Right.
If we could find a way to record while we're all in London together, that would be awesome.
Yes.
That would be awesome. Pixie and her family. I don't know how many of them are going to London,
mm-hmm.
but that would be cool. Like
right.
there's certain people that were like,
right.
oh, there's some perspectives, but then there will be other people that we're going to meet, that we're going to get to know,
yeah.
maybe that become a contributor to the website.
Professor Sex.
Oh, mm-hmm. Angel and Professor
yeah.
Sex. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We have been Twitter talking about how we really need a play date.
Yes.
That would involve much squeeing. I have no doubt. But so we have a handful of people that will expand. That absolutely will expand.
Right.
But we get pitched a lot from people who are mostly looking to sell a thing, and
mm-hmm.
that's not what these conversations will be. They might have something to sell. We might go, oh, we've read this book. You totally need to buy this book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about the connection and what different perspectives bring.
Right.
And yes, if somebody becomes a contributor on a topic that there's no way we could ever discuss, they may be who we talk to
right.
in an interview as well. This is all new territory for us.
Mm-hmm.
I am learning not to put timelines on anything.
Yeah.
Because I never meet them. Because I do too many things at one time. So let's recap. Contributors to the website, one a month for right now. Y'all, if paid membership goes up, if affiliate sales go up, if we start generating more income, then we will increase that. We will increase the pay and we will increase the amount of people and the topics that are being covered. So anybody who's sort of desperate for these topics, I'm asking for you to be patient. Or if I can find another good resource, I have no problem sending you to another resource. I'm not jealous of other resources.
No.
We all have something to contribute and say.
Everybody has something to offer in their own way.
Right. So if we come across resources that can provide what people are looking for that we can't yet before we can provide it, I'm happy to share that.
Mm-hmm.
So writing blog post contributorships.
Right.
One a month. Different voices, different topics that we don't necessarily cover. And monthly conversation with somebody as a bonus pod, potentially a second episode each week that will be short, like I said, 10 to 15 minutes. The other topic we talked about was a Q&A where somebody would send us a question that mm-hmm. they give permission for us to read at least a portion of.
Right.
And then we would answer it for everybody.
Without identifying who they are.
Right, exactly. Unless they say, I don't care if you say my name. That's fine. But yes, we will have that. We want to do that as well because we get a lot of really good questions.
Yes,
and
we do.
And y'all have heard, sometimes they do inspire an episode.
Right.
But the answer we give is always highly specific to their question, but it ends up being an answer that only us and that person knows about. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I come back later, you know, it's weeks later, I'm like, oh yeah, I got this email and this is what we talked about. It's never a specific answer. So this would be an opportunity for people to submit their question to us with their permission. It might be a blog post, it might even be a video, but definitely be a podcast episode where we read the question, we give an answer. That's it. Okay, and that's all it would be. So now I would imagine if it was an answer that took like 2 minutes to answer, we might do a couple of questions, but you know, like a mailbag kind of thing. So we want to do that as well.
Correct.
So a second episode in the week could be about a kink or a fetish.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a Q&A. It could be that particular week. It could be a conversation with another kinkster that we like and want you guys to know.
Right.
With something to say. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's just on the, hey, this is all the freely available content to everybody at lovingbdsm.net. So now I'm going to like switch gears a little bit and talk about the community.
Okay.
The community things that people ask for are things that we had already been thinking of. So that was good. That meant that, yay, the things we want to give you are things that you seem to want. So that's helpful. And some things, I am the person who, if I can't do it perfectly exactly the way I want, I don't like to do it at all. Which, if you understand how that is for people, you can also then understand why turning on the lovingbdsm.net website and community was agonizing for me, because it was never, and it still has never been exactly what I want it to be. We have to continuously make changes. And then for about 2 or 3 months, we were crashing all the time and I couldn't fix it and I couldn't figure it out. And I've died a little inside every single time. So because enough people have asked for it, because I'm sort of counting on the fact that you're only handing me over your money because you actually love what we're doing and you will forgive us small things as long as we keep trying, we are going to introduce things that will not be perfect the moment I turn them on, no matter how much I try, but that we will continue to improve and make better for everybody. So here they go. One thing we have already done is we've created sort of an FAQ/support page, which means there are some common questions. People go, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, if you can't do something, the answer may be on that FAQ page. It's in multiple places within the community and even from the front page that you can go check out, get an answer to your question. If the question is not there, you still don't have an answer, there's a contact form so you can contact us directly. Because y'all, if you have a problem within the community and it's something doesn't work, the only way we can fix it is if somebody reaches out to us. We have had people who couldn't log in for weeks and never said anything. And I was like, if you had told me it was a fix, there was a fix, I could fix it. You have to tell me stuff.
Use your words.
Right. Listen to daddy, okay? Daddy says, use your words. So when you experience a problem, we now have a page for it. But you can always email us directly. We've had people tweet at us. I don't love Twitter, but if that's the way you communicate, it's fine. it's not that I don't love Twitter. We know I love Twitter. I don't love it for tech support.
She loves Twitter, but we've had to have her put her phone away during the day.
Yes, I have.
Okay, otherwise she gets too distracted by Twitter.
So if you use the tech support FAQ form or you email us, you will actually get a quicker response sometimes. So that is actually already done. The other thing that we are working on is a chat room feature in the forum that you can actually just go to and chat away with each other.
The LB Coffee Lounge.
Right, we're going to call it the Coffee Lounge because coffee is our love language. You do not have to be a coffee drinker to enter the Coffee Lounge. The first couple things I tried did not work. We have found one solution that requires like skills I personally do not have that the lovely and wonderful and amazing talented John Brownstone is going to have to dust off his skills for. a good friend Dom Sign says, I'm sure you're capable of this. And I'm like, you don't know how afraid I am of breaking my own website. So that is coming. In perfect world, that will happen in the next week or so. That's what I would love to have happen. I would love to sit down to record the episode 115 and go, we have a chat lounge in the membership side. What we're trying to do is not have it limited to just one room because we know people want to kind of go off and talk about specific topics and we want people to, we have the forums for that, but this would be maybe a more fluid way of talking about things.
Correct.
And so we're trying to find a solution that's not limiting to how many chat rooms we can have and how many, whatever. So there will definitely be one that's open to everybody who is a member of the Loving BDSM community. So you'd have to join at least as a free member. And if we can, we may create some that are for paid members only.
Right.
We shall see. It depends on how this tool works for us. So we are working on that for people who have asked for it. We've been thinking about it for a few months. We're making it happen. Just please be patient with this. So that's the other thing. The third thing that I've had one family, one couple say, the moment you do this, I will sign up for this, is to have a paid membership level that is for couples and or poly families. That way you pay one time, slightly higher than the regular monthly fee, of course, but you pay one time and everybody who is associated with your DS relationship gets access to all the same stuff.
Right.
Because I know what happens. Do not tell me it doesn't happen. The one partner has paid for the membership, but the other partner wants to watch the munch or go to the Dom meeting or the sub meeting. And so they use the login, but then they can't comment because then it looks like the other person.
Yeah.
I totally, totally get it. We are working on that. The thing you have to know is that the system we currently use does not make that easy. The only way I will be able to do it, and it's why I've hesitated, is I have to do it manually. So one of you has to sign up for that level, and then I have to manually configure your family members to have that access. It will be a little cumbersome at first. It will annoy some people at first, including myself. The whole plan was always to consistently update and change the site to have better features, better tools. That costs money. So while we're little in a baby community, we got to do these things manually.
Growing pains.
I don't know if you were sitting here. He walked away, y'all, for a second. when I told them about how it physically pains me to not put out something that's perfect. And so then I hesitate. And I also die a little inside when something doesn't work. Blame my anxiety and my perfectionism. So those, let me make sure those are the only things. Oh. And then we talked about offering free stuff for our paid members. Because I did ask the question, okay, you're a paid member. What do you want more of other than, because we know there's more to give you. I want everybody to understand. We understand that we could be giving more. It's a time constraint and it's a resource constraint and it's also a, oh shit, I don't know what we should do. So we did put that question out there of what do you want more of? What can we be giving you? And some people had some great ideas. We did ask about for people to purchase things. People said, yes, they were interested in online courses. Yes, they were interested in eBooks.
Right.
Yeah. We had thrown out the idea between us about consultation on relationships, diving in deeper than the emails we already answered.
Right.
There was not a lot of interest for that. So unless that somehow grows out of nowhere, that probably won't go anywhere. That's fine. But people were interested in online courses and books and other digital products we could make. And so then when we asked our paid members of, well, what can we do for you? They're like, give us free stuff. So we are looking at creating those kinds of things where, like, if we have an online course and y'all don't know what it would be about right now, I hadn't thought that far ahead. Where if you're a paid member, you'll probably get access to it for free or at a really, really deep discount. And if you are not a paid member, then you'll pay for the course. And that way you can choose what's more, if you want it, what's better for you. So those things, we did hear you. We did take those into consideration. It was weird how roles got flipped when we had this meeting about the survey, because I was like talking and throwing out ideas and sort of being a little dictator, and John Brownstone was taking notes. And he was typing. He was like, "You got to slow down. I can't type fast enough."
What I needed was actually one of those digital voice recorders.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You know, you own an iPhone, so you pretty much own one. You could have recorded me.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Some of some changes we want to make, like the adding a couples / polyfamily membership level, and adding the chat room.
Right.
Those things we're working on pretty much right now.
Yes.
Once we have those in place and we know they work and we haven't broken our whole site.
Right. And that's the thing with some of this stuff. You know, we don't want to put this stuff out there and then everything just, you know, fall apart and break. We want to be able to put this stuff out there and have it work for you as much as for us. And that takes time. Those things take time.
Exactly. So once we have those things in place, then we are going to do a big membership drive.
Yeah.
Because the more paid members we have, the more we can create the things you want. And the more we can pay writers and the more writers we can have to contribute. And we can do more of the things. So
the thing.
Sorry, that's our personal joke, because for a while the kids couldn't handle it if we said the word sex around them, and so we had to call it the thing. And so then every time I called it the thing, they were like, oh god. And so now there you go, you got a little glimpse into our really weird humor. A deeper glimpse. I think you already had a glimpse into our really weird humor. You've been hanging out with us for 114 episodes, so I mean, you know. Okay, so that's a lot.
Yeah.
Things will slowly start coming out over time. As they do, we'll talk about them on Twitter mainly, because that's where we tend to talk about most things. We will talk about them in episodes, whether it's as an announcement or in the bonus section. We do have big plans. We are trying to be responsible with our plans and not do what my manic self likes to do, which is to do all the things all at the same time. That's not responsible.
No.
Daddy says. Daddy says I can't do that anymore. And we started this because we wanted to have a conversation. We started this in 2015. We're now in 2018. Yeah. Somebody let that sink in for a minute.
Right? I know.
We started this because we just wanted to have a bigger, better conversation about DS relationships.
Correct.
As we see them. Not necessarily about the kinks, because those are so unique to everybody. Not necessarily about how to find the perfect partner in 5 minutes. Like, not that kind of stuff. Just how to be real people in a relationship that isn't normal, quote unquote. I hate that word. We need another word. Typical, maybe, is, I don't know. There's a word. I don't like that word. But that isn't what most people are used to.
Correct.
And in the process, we have met amazing people. For everybody who says we have helped them or touched them, I promise you, just the fact that you reach out to let us know, you touch us, you make us better. Many of you, without realizing it, have, I think, helped us be. So it's one thing to want to be inclusive and diverse and to be open and accepting of all people. It's another thing completely to know how to do that effectively. And if not for the fact that, and we are still a work in progress, there are times we still don't get it right. We're still learning. But the fact that we have the audience that we have and we get to connect with the people that we connect with, you have made us better at that.
Yeah.
For every person who reaches out and says, well, this is my situation and it is so completely different from anything I know, you broaden my horizons that much more to go, no, let me tell you. I can tell you an example of how who a dominant can be, or who a submissive can be, or who mm-hmm. a switch can be, because you're all out there and you're all listening. And every time we connect, you tell us how we're helping you or touching you. And that is amazing and gratifying and humbling, but you affect us as well. And to me, the way this community that is growing and the directions we've taken it in aren't just a reflection of the things we want to help people with. They are. They absolutely are. It is about the things we want to accomplish. But it is a reflection of the things that you need, you've asked for, you've told us you want. Right. Yeah. If this was just a personal blog, we would just talk about the shit we want to talk about, and we wouldn't necessarily care. People would read or they wouldn't, or they would listen mm-hmm. or they wouldn't. This is a community, and it's about, I can't fill every single person's needs out there. I'm not even going to try.
Right.
But this is about creating a space where more people can see themselves and more people can share their experiences in a safe way mm-hmm. that helps other people, and we can all grow and expand our horizons together. And we will never, ever, ever, ever claim, and if we do, we are being held hostage. That's the signal. We will never claim that we know everything. We no. will never claim that our way is the only way.
Correct.
It is. The way we do it now isn't even the way we did it 3 years ago.
Exactly.
So there's no way I can ever say, oh, this is how you do the DS thing.
Another point, in fact, going back to the episode of how things change.
Exactly.
How limits change. How,
and
you know,
it's...
Go ahead.
We're so excited. We're talking over one another. And it's not even just about kink, y'all. It's about the way we get information. It's about the way we learn from one another. You mm-hmm. have expanded our horizons just as much as we may have expanded
yours. It is as much a journey for us as it is for you.
Right. And what we want to do is for this to be a journey that we can all take together. And we know we are not going to make everybody happy. I know the sound of my voice annoys some people out there. Okay. I'm not apologizing for it. It is a fact. I know there is at least one person who really hates the fact that I interrupt you. It's a thing for that person. Okay. We are not going to make everybody happy, and we're not always going to do it right. But I promise you, everything we do is an effort to help others.
Right.
And it will be the best we can do. And when yeah. we fuck up, we will tell you we have fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And we will
apologize for fucking up. We're not perfect.
No, and we're not going to try to be.
No.
But this is our community, and we want you to join. And if you want to help make it a better community, then participate. And let us yes. know if something doesn't work. Even though I promise you, the last time we had a major tech support issue, like, people were emailing me, like, all over the place. And they were tweeting at me all over the place. I almost had a breakdown. That is about me. That is not about you. I think it's why I don't like Twitter for tech support. I know people use it for tech support, and that's yeah. fine. And we have Twitter for that reason, so people right. can reach us that way. But you want to feel like the whole world is, like, screaming at you about something? Oh, my God, let it happen on Twitter. That will feel like the whole world is screaming about something. But that's what we're here for. And so yeah. I can't make it perfect the first time I put it out, much to my chagrin. I wish I could. We don't have the resources, the financial resources yet to make the product we envision in our mind.
Right.
But every day we will try to do it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. We will count on you to help us do it better.
The longest journey begins with one step.
We've had a lot of little steps, though. We haven't gone very... I don't know. Have we gone further than I think we have?
Yes.
Okay. It's never far enough to me, but that's...
Yeah, well...
That's me and my issues. So, this episode went long, but it yeah. was technically two episodes in one.
True.
For those of you who stuck around to the very end, to the bitter end, tap my coffee mug at you. Actually, I'm an iced coffee girl, so it's my glass, but whatever. To everybody who has sent us cards and postcards, and God, y'all, I love you, the Starbucks and the coffee, actual
yes.
physical coffee
oh
in our mail.
Oh my gosh.
For all of it, for everything, the people who pay their money each month, even if they're not watching a munch or participating in the forums, where are you? But thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank
Absolutely.
You for helping us make this happen.
You know, when we get these things, the cards, and, you know, open some of these packages and there's coffee
gosh.
In there. It's
the champagne,
like,
that we got drunk on Christmas Eve.
You know, it
thank you.
it touches me that
I don't ever feel like we deserve it. Like, I feel like we're not giving enough for what we're receiving. And it makes me want to give more. It makes me want to do more, because I think this is the generosity of people, not just to send a package of, you know, champagne or coffee or the wonderful things people send, but to take the time to go, here, I'm going to email you, a total stranger who I do not actually believe is going to email me back. I'm going to crack open my soul and tell you every ugly, scary detail of a thing that happened to me. Like, I am so not like that. I don't do that. That I always go, how do people do that? And then when I realize that they have done a thing I could not, cannot, will not do, I'm amazed at them. Because whether you realize it or not, especially when it's something, when you give a part of yourself, a mental and emotional part of yourself, or a physical part, your money, fuck. As somebody who's been poor her whole life, to give money is a huge thing to me. Shit, I just got teary. I'm sorry. But when you give a part of yourself, like I said, in an email where you tell me your whole ugly, awful, scary story, or a physical part of you, something that is tangible like that, you can't get it back once you've spent it, I am humbled by it. And for those people, I can't make everybody happy, but for those people, whew, I'll do anything. And if it means I spend 20 minutes answering an email with just mostly, I don't know how to tell you how to fix this, but here you have all the support I can give you, then I'm going to do that. And that's how I look at this community. That's what we're trying to do. Something together, to be a safe, genuine place together, where we can all grow together. And now that I'm crying, I think it's time to end. Yeah. Sorry, y'all.
She's feeling a little beclamped. Talk amongst yourselves. I know, right?
It is. It's humbling and it's amazing. Yes,
it is. It's just incredible.
And for those of you who think that you are somehow less than because you're going through this awful situation you're emailing a stranger about, because you've got this shitty partner who's making you feel these awful things, I need you to understand, you are doing something when you share your story. You are doing something that I, no matter what you think of me, I'm incapable of doing. I could never share myself in the way that you share yourself with a total stranger.
That takes a lot of courage.
Right. So maybe you can't afford a monthly fee. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you can't. You're like, I'd love to send you a package. I can't. I don't care about that. I love it when it happens. The people who send them, they know how I feel. But when you send your email and you send your message, you are giving us something.
Yes.
You are giving us a part of yourself just as much as anybody else. And you are all, every one of you, whatever end of that spectrum you are on, you are all valuable to us.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to say keep it kinky now? Oh, gosh. Okay. So now all right. I went into a rant ramble. Sorry, y'all.
Okay.
We love you.
Take a deep breath, baby.
I think 2018 is going to be fucking awesome.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be not just because of what you and I do, Daddy Dearest, but because of the people that are part of this with us. Part of
what we do. Yep. Yes. Okay. What a long, strange trip it's been.
I know. It's only getting longer and stranger.
Yep.
In upcoming episodes, when we have more of the other concrete details, I can't wait to talk about the things we're planning on doing in real life, too. I think that's going to be interesting. Yeah. And one day, those two worlds, the online and the real life, they'll converge. I've decided. Oh,
yeah. There'll be a
meeting point.
Right.
So okay. Until then, we've got to go. And you have an hour and a half in. You are kind enough to still be with us.
Are we good?
We're trying to be.
Yeah.
We're the best we can be.
That's true.
There we go.
All right.
Okay, y'all.
On that note,
keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week.